Here in Luke chapter 6, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us about the very familiar wise man and foolish man, but he gives us the context. Often when people hear this parable, they immediately think of the lost, and it can apply to the lost, but it primarily applies to the saved, as we will see. So starting in verse 46 of Luke 6, Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. And he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did bear vehemently, beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." So our title, Why Call Ye Me Lord? Why call ye me Lord? Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much, and I just thank you for the privilege of meeting here today, and pray that you just be with us in a special way as we all deal with that little hole in our hearts with Patsy. We're so thankful she's with you, rejoicing with you. And pray you'll meet with us now and encourage us from your word. Speak to us. Do miracles in our hearts. And Lord, may we honor you in our response, as we talked about in Sunday school. May we be receptive to your word and the Holy Spirit, and may we leave changed by you. So we want to honor you and honor your word, and pray you'd now guide us in your truth, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This word Lord here in verse 46 also means master. If you go to John 13:13, Jesus makes it very clear that he is Lord and Master. John 13:13. For there to be a master, there has to be servants. Amen. And that's us. Notice John 13:13. Jesus said, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am." If you're a born again Christian, you are his. Look at Romans chapter 14, verse 8. He is your Lord. He is your master. We often even use those terms when we pray or refer to him as our Lord, as our master. Romans chapter 14, look down at verse 8. Bible says, whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. He owns us. Amen. We're bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. He owns us. He is our Lord. He is our master. Now calling him Lord does not guarantee salvation. We know this because Jesus told us so in Matthew 7. So let's turn there quickly. You have to be born again. You have to become his child. You have to be saved for him to be your father. Now, he is everyone's Lord. And it's appropriate to always refer to him as the Lord, but what I'm saying is referring him to this Lord does not mean you are saved. They're just words. Matthew 7, verse 22, "Many will say to me in that day," talking about the judgment, "Lord, Lord." So there it is. "Have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Many will say to me, "Lord, Lord." They will try to say, "I've made you my Lord," but Jesus is going to say, "I never knew you." Now, you and I that are Christians, we should always refer to him as Lord, as our master. But what he's saying here in Luke 6, verse 46, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say. Why say that I'm your master? Why say that I'm your Lord and then live in disobedience? It's a rhetorical question, of course, but doesn't make any sense, does it? For him to say, here's my commands, and for us to say, okay, Lord, I'd rather not obey all of them. And by the way, he never refers to them as options, does he? He only refers to them as commands. That's the word he always uses. If you love me, keep my commandments. They're commands. Masters are allowed to give commands. Lords are allowed to give commands. And you and I have chosen through salvation to make him our Lord, to make him our master. He says, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And we'll come back to that in a moment. But in verse 47, then he gives us, which is a very well-known parable, but it's about hearing and doing what? His commands. Notice verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. Heareth and doeth. So, of course, we know the passage in James 1. Quickly turn there, 1:22. But Jesus made this very clear, even when he was on earth, talking to the disciples in the upper room. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. He never said, if you feel like it. He said, they're commands. He commands us to do things. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. Jesus even says that having that desire to obey his commandments is one of the ways that we know we are saved. 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 3. The Bible says, and hereby we do know that we know him. So how do we know that we know him? If we what? Keep his commandments. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He says, I'm going to liken that person now, verse 48 of our passage, Luke 6, to a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. He's telling us that obedience is the only way to make him our Lord, and that it is the only way we're going to grow, is if we would be obedient to his commands. Amen? And again, he's told us this all the way through, but even the Old Testament, look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, if you would, and just give some scriptures quickly that show the many blessings that God promises upon his children if we will obey his commands. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to what? Do. Two-letter word. Do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Well, that's a blessing, success. Psalm 111:10 is another one. Let's turn there quickly. Psalm 111, verse 10. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that what? Do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. So there he promises a good understanding to those that will do. Jesus said a similar thing in John 7:17, if you want to turn there. John 7:17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So he's promising here that if we will be a doer, an obeyer, I know that's not a word, that we will grow. It's like a man building his house on a solid foundation. This is what Jesus wants from his children, obedience to what? His commands. He never said they're optional. And yet many of them people treat as optional, don't they? Bible says, judge not that you be not judged. Bible says, forgive if you have aught against any. Search the scriptures, the Bible says. In John 5, in other words, study the Bible. We're commanded to do that. Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in Colossians 3. In other words, we're commanded to memorize scripture. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 13. Be content with such things as you have. Speak evil of no man. We could go on and on. These are commands. Amen? And Jesus said, I'm going to liken those who will hear and do to a man that builds his house on a rock. Now, then verse 49 of our passage. But he that heareth and doeth not, he that chooses to disobey is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth and against which the stream did beat vehemently and immediately fell, and the ruin of that house was great. You know, that verse we looked at, I would like us to look at it again in James 1, verse 22. He tells us that if we choose to be disobedient, that we are deceived. Notice James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Look at this next phrase, deceiving your own selves. The devil's good at that, isn't he? Deceiving us into thinking it's okay to disobey. But that's our stubborn hearts, isn't it? Look at Luke chapter 19. We'll see it was in Israel, but it's also here in Luke 19 in a parable where this stubbornness, if you want to call it that, we looked at it in Sunday school. He that hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed and so forth. But Luke 19, 14, this is part of the parable of the pounds, but look at verse 14. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. We don't want a Lord. We don't want a master. We don't want a king. We don't want to obey. We will not have this man to reign over us. So if we choose to disobey, he that turneth away his ear, Proverbs 28:9, from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. But you know, in John 14, if you want to turn there again, verse 24 this time, Jesus, very, we all know verse 15, very simple verse, very powerful truth. If you love me, keep my commandments. But look what he says in verse 24 of the same passage here in John 14. Jesus said, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. We often think of love in a lot of different ways, but Jesus thinks of it in one way. Obedience. Obedience. Why call you me Lord, Lord, he says. Why keep referring to me as your master? I've given you commands. I've made them very clear. I'm not ambiguous about any of them. So why not obey? If you truly love me. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, if you turn there quickly. God says that is the love of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we what? Keep his commandments. Amen? We've looked at this a lot in Deuteronomy recently. God's promises of so many blessings for obedience, curses for disobedience. Thankfully, we live in the New Testament age, so we're not going to be sent to hell for disobedience, but we will face chastisement from our Heavenly Father who loves us so much. Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. But Jesus here is saying, why? Rhetorical. Why? Call you me Lord, Lord. Same phrase in Matthew 7 for those that are cast into hell. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and yet do not the things which I say? He said, it doesn't work. He that heareth and doeth, verse 47, he's that man that built his house upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not. So they both hear. One hears and does, one hears and doesn't. They both hear, one does, one doesn't. He is that man that builds his house on the earth. I know we have some builders in here. That never works, hey Brad? The dirt shifts. The rain comes. It just can't work. We always have to dig down deep, pour that concrete. If it's going to stay, if it's going to stand, it's got to have a foundation. Well, you know, for us as Christians, our Christian lives are built upon the rock. Amen. We can look at 1 Corinthians 3 quickly. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the rock, as we saw in our study in Israel. He is the rock that followed Israel from 1 Corinthians 10. He's the rock that gave them water. He's the rock that watched over them. But he's also the foundation, not only of our salvation, but he's the foundation of our Christian life. Of everything that we do, it's all built upon Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Master. Amen? 1 Corinthians 3, look down at verse 11. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. That's the word God used in his word. He's the foundation. And Jesus said, I'm going to liken those who will hear and do my commandments to the man who, when he went to build a house, he built a foundation first. Who's the foundation? Jesus. He that hears and says, I'm not going to obey all of them. I'm going to disobey some. He's like the man who said, I don't need to bother with a foundation. I'll just throw up my house on the dirt. And we all know what would happen. Jesus told us it's going to fall. And the fall of it, he said, is great. So it's rhetorical, but it's a very sobering question for each of us as God's children. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? God has been so good to not leave us in the dark about what he wants from us. Amen. And like I say, we've done that study in Sunday school. It's in a brochure at the back. If you ever wonder, what are the commands? And we went through every commandment in the New Testament. We summarized them. There's about 150 of them, not counting the family ones, which are also in there. Say, that's a lot. Not really. Not if we're studying and reading God's word constantly. It's not a lot. But we have a responsibility because we're going to stand before God. And we're going to give account. What did you do? Not for our sin, hallelujah, glory to God, that's under the blood. But we are going to give account. What did you do with the time that I gave you? What did you do with all those gifts that I gave you? What did you do with the power that I gave you? Did you put it to use? Or did you bury it in the sand? And a big part of that will be, did you choose to hear and do or hear and not do? Why call you me Lord, Lord? Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. We are sobered to think that you have gifted us justification. You've gifted us eternal life, a home in heaven. We don't deserve any of those things, Lord. And I pray that as it is sobering, it would also remind us, Lord, that now we have a responsibility to know and to do every single one of your commands. And to not allow the devil to trick us into thinking that we can disobey a few. Or try to self-justify that, Lord. We're just asking for trouble. So I pray, Lord, that you work miracles in our hearts and that as the Holy Spirit speaks to us through the Word of God, the mirror of the Word of God, that we would be responsive. Lord, I pray if there's someone in our service that believes in you, but they've never come to you and heard the gospel and trusted you as their Lord and Savior, I pray today they would come to Christ and realize that that's the only way to heaven, is through Jesus. So I pray for those as well. Those of us that are Christians, Lord,